Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Let's take a trip west to Sheffield, where 242 years ago, Mum Bett became the first African-American woman to sue for her freedom and win in Massachusetts. Bett, once freed, changed her name to Elizabeth Freeman. Her case launched the so-called freedom suits throughout the Commonwealth. This was more than 80 years before the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. Eventually, those suits would lead to a ban on slavery in the state. A bronze statue in Elizabeth Freeman's likeness is scheduled to be unveiled this Sunday in Sheffield in honor of her. And here to provide some insight into Freeman and her contributions is Jennifer Owens, the administrator of the Sheffield Historical Society. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. Thank you so much for helping us get Elizabeth Freeman's story out and the story about the monument that we're erected to Sheffield Green.
Okay. Elizabeth Freeman made an indelible mark on history, yet remains relatively unknown in Massachusetts history. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of people who are not the typical historical figures, you know, people who are generals in the Revolutionary War or in the Civil War, have been, you know, overlooked by history for several hundred years. But in the past 20 years, I think there's a lot of looking to some of the stories of these heroes that nobody really recognized as heroes until more recent times.
Yeah, it's an interesting question to ponder. Who gets remembered and who gets forgotten? I wonder if you can reflect on that as a historian.
Yeah, you know, the way that I look at history is it's the people in the background who are doing the truly historic things, or the people who are doing the work to live up to the ideals that this country was formed upon. And Elizabeth Freeman is an exact, perfect example of that. She truly is a Revolutionary War hero. Elizabeth Freeman, she was born into slavery in 1744 in what is now Columbia County, New York. It's right over the border from here in Sheffield. She was given as a wedding present at the age of 7 to her enslaver's daughter. And she lived in slavery here in Sheffield for most of her life, or at least half of her life. And a lot of people don't realize that slavery was something that existed here in the Northeast in New England.
This seems extraordinary. How common was it to, one, sue for freedom, and two, win?
Yeah, so there had been other freedom suits, that's what they are called, in Massachusetts and in the other colonies and in the early times in the states. But Bett's is a little bit different because hers was the first that was actually based on the ideal of freedom. Her lawyer, Theodore Sedgwick, also from Sheffield, saw that in the Massachusetts Constitution that there was a lot of language that mirrored the Declaration of Independence that talked about freedom, independence, the ability for life, liberty, and happiness. And he thought that the language was so ambiguous that he could probably get, take a court case and win it and free Bett from enslavement. And they succeeded, which is really remarkable. Her court case was on August 21st, 1781. And as a direct result of the court case, slavery was outlawed in Massachusetts in 1783. So this is about 82 years before the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. So in Massachusetts, for at least two generations, there was no slavery, whereas in nearby Connecticut and New York, slavery still existed.
How unusual was it for an enslaved person at that time to be able to obtain a lawyer?
Well, the really interesting thing is that Theodore Sedgwick was a friend of John Ashley, who was Bett's enslaver. So she knew Sedgwick because he would visit the Ashley house. And it was just, somebody in the community with her. So, maybe it just happened to be happenstance that there was a lawyer who was willing and wanting to pursue the case that just happened to be in her, in her community. Mm-hmm. And the other unusual thing is that women were not allowed in courthouses back then. So that's a reason why another enslaved person from the Ashley household, Brahm, was part of the suit, because as a woman, this is a second barrier to her ability to, find justice in the courts. She had to have a man with her during the court case.
So it really didn't have anything to do with her race. It was her gender.
Yeah, her gender. yes, mm-hmm. and her status as an enslaved person. Mm-hmm. So she won the case, and the basis of it was that the Massachusetts State Constitution, which had just newly been ratified, America was only a few months old when this happened. You know, that was the basis, the ideals that America had just been founded on.
When and why did the Historical Society decide it was time to honor her?
So we've been honoring her in small ways for at least the past 20 years. But about a year ago or so, State Representative Smitty Pignatelli, who is our local representative, mm-hmm. Realized that there really should be something here in Sheffield that lets people who are traveling from out of town and locals alike know about her story, bring her story to prominence, because she really is an American hero. And since then, we've been working to first raise the money to erect the statue, working with the sculptor, Brian Hanlon, who has done other sculptures of Barack Obama and Susan B. Anthony nearby here in the Berkshires. And, you know, Elizabeth Freeman, I can see her out the window right now. She is standing. She is covered in a cloth, and she will be unveiled on Sunday.
Okay, that'll
so
be
an ex- it took about a year, but it all came to fruition.
That'll be an exciting time for the town of Sheffield and mm-hmm. its inhabitants. Starting tonight through Sunday, the Historical Society is hosting a series of events and happenings marking the unveiling of that statue and celebrating Elizabeth Freeman. On Saturday, the play Meet Elizabeth Freeman will be performed. It's written by Philadelphia-based playwright Teresa Miller. Actress Wanda Houston plays Elizabeth Freeman in that production, and Wanda joins me now. Wanda, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for joining us. What, if anything, did you know about Elizabeth Freeman when you took on this role?
Well, I was living in New York City and started coming to this area through a theater in the area around 2001, 2002, and I met some other, you know, playwrights and composers who were writing a new musical, and while we were talking about that musical, which was actually about the Harlem Renaissance, they told me about this musical that they were going to write about this character, Mom Bette, and I went, what is Mom Bette? Who is that? I'd never heard of her, and they told me, and they were going to write this musical. Well, the musical never happened, but I always had that Mom Bette in my head that she came from this area.
Sure.
And shortly, and not too long after that, the more I got involved with the community here and eventually even moving to Sheffield, when I moved up from the city, I learned even more about her and had friends who were part of the Historical Society. And then people in the area and Stockbridge and the surrounding areas were doing things to commemorate her. And then I started meeting more and more people, some of the more other historians, and I realized that the Ashley House was right here in Sheffield. So I just kind of got drawn in to the character of who she is and the history of it, the
sure.
story.
What was most important for you to bring to this character?
I wanted to bring the true pathos of the situation, the true, because even for myself, it was hard to, how did this happen? Like, this was before the Underground Railroad. This was before any of that was happening. And even the reality, the realization of slavery in the North. I mean, you always heard about the slavery in the South. That's where it was.
Sure.
That's where the problem was. But it was here as well. So grasping all of that and the realization of who she was. She was born in Claverack, New York. She was not born in the South. So, you know, just the small part that she would not have a Southern accent because she was not born in the South. So why would she speak Southern?
Sure.
You know, little thing like that.
Is there a lesson in her story that women and young women can learn?
I would hope so. I would think so. Just in the fact that you've got to be your own advocate. You've got to learn how to stand up for yourself. No matter how shy or afraid or meek you are, learn to speak for yourself and stand up for what you need and what you want. And that is what's important, I think, for all of us. to do is to really know what you want and what you need in this life. If you're going to pursue the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then you've got to work for yourself and do it. You've got to be that person to pursue it. And you want that liberty, you want that freedom and that independence, then you've got to do that work. Mm-hmm. So I think that would hopefully be the lesson of who she is. I mean, for her to find, put together that I can talk to the lawyer and he's going to help me, you know, get my freedom from these people who are enslaving me. Come on, you have to do that work. And I think that's important for all of us, you know, even just talking about voting.
What do you most want audiences to take away from Elizabeth Freeman's life?
That this is an American story. This is about America. This is who we were. This is who we are. This is who we are. We want to aspire to be. And so I want people to take away that this is a part of all of us, and that Elizabeth Freeman represents all of us, that we need to be aware of what our rights are and what we need in this world, and then pursue what we need to make that happen. Okay. And she did.
Okay, that's Wanda Houston. She plays Elizabeth Freeman in the play Meet Elizabeth Freeman, written by Philadelphia-based playwright Teresa Miller. Wanda, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Still listening in is Jennifer Owens, the administrator at the Sheffield Historical Society. Jennifer, in hearing Wanda there, from your perspective, what about Elizabeth Freeman's life do you hope stays with people?
I agree with Wanda. It's her perseverance and it's her self-worth to, you know, be a slave, an enslaved person owned by the wealthiest person in the town, and to still have that sense of worth that I should be free. I should be my own person. Mm-hmm. One thing I'd like to share with you is a quote that she had later in her years when she was a free person. And she said, anytime while I was a slave, if 1 minute's freedom had been offered to me and I'd been told I must die at the end of that minute, I would have taken it. Just to stand 1 minute on God's earth, a free woman, I would. So it just shows that, you know, this was something deep inside her all of her life. And it was something she was always striving for. And unlike many of the other enslaved people in her time period and for generations to come, she was able to achieve that dream that she had.
Okay, that's Jennifer Owens, the administrator of the Sheffield Historical Society. Jennifer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll bring you some of the fun in the sun for you to experience this weekend. I'm Steve Brown. This is Radio Boston.